Yes. It means that those who have tasted of the good word, those who have tasted of the gifts, those who have tasted of the powers to come, that means they have tasted a lot of good things. And yet they could turn around and resist God. They have crossed the line. That is why for Satan, there is no second chance. When Adam and Eve fell, there's a second chance. You know why? We were tempted. But Satan, without temptation, chose to go against God. So, those who are supposed to come to that extent, the more you actually know God, the harder it is to go away from Him. You know this, that. The more you grow to know who He is, no matter how weak you are at times, you find it hard to go away from Him. Because something keeps drawing you back to love Him. But to really go away, it must have been very, very hard. Hardened against God. And so, there's a level 2. Now, the level 1 and level 2 works for good or for bad. Let me show an illustration where it works for good. When people spend a lot of time, let's say, Zacharias and Elizabeth in the Gospel of Luke, they walk with God, they walk with God, they walk with God for many, many years. The Bible says they were devout people, prayerful people, and in their old age, they were still walking with God and serving God. So, they keep walking with God to a certain extent, that because of their walk with God, God could work with them at predestination level 2. Now, predestination level 2 is in an area where it seems, quote unquote, that free will is being carried by a bigger force. Like Satan, like Pharaoh. He keeps choosing the wrong thing until it looks like later he doesn't have free choice anymore. He's just like carried over by evil. To predestined to be evil. Looks that way. So, Zacharias and Elizabeth keep walking with God. In the Gospel of Luke, it tells us a story, Luke chapter 1. And finally, God says, I have answered your prayer, I have given you a son. His name shall be called John. Think about John the Baptist. He was named before he was born. His ministry was predicted before he was born. And he fulfilled prophecies about him before he was born. And he was filled with the Spirit even from the womb. Now, it would have been very hard for John, John the Baptist, to go away from God. How do you go away from God when from the baby you are filled with the Spirit? I mean, I wonder how it was like in Elizabeth's womb, right? It must be like a drum. Boom, 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 right? And he was filled with the Spirit, you know? And I'm not making this up because when Jesus, who was at that time in Mary's womb, and they were cousins, Mary and Elizabeth were cousins, Mary came to visit Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was about 6 months pregnant, and Mary had just had Jesus conceived in her by the Holy Ghost. So she came back to her cousin Elizabeth and said, Alice, you know, there's this thing that happened to me. The Holy Spirit overshadowed me. And Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. And John the Baptist was inside her, filled with the Spirit. John the Baptist was good. And he remember he couldn't talk inside. There's all the liquid all over him. So he was in the womb. And go. I could imagine John the Baptist was going, he was pointing to Jesus, right? The forerunner. And Elizabeth said, hey, this baby is kicking. He's saying that the Messiah is in you. So the ministry started while in a womb, right? Now tell me, what kind of choice did John the Baptist has? Doesn't seem to be much, right? From young, he was so full of the Spirit, he could hardly go do the wrong thing. And because his parents and he himself, to a certain extent, had walked with God, it drops down to level 2, where God's power and presence seem to supersede even a free will and carry you. So, in predestination of persons, there are 2 levels. Then there are 2 sides of a coin. For good or for bad, There is a level where you resist God, resist God, resist God, and God says, that's it. You cross a line. And then there's a level where you obey God, obey God, and obey God, and obey God. You drop down to the level, like Paul said when he was with the Ephesian elders, he says, I go bound in the Spirit. Notice those words. It's like you have no more choice. He has so yielded to God, that anything the Holy Ghost, he says, take me along. If he has free will, he surrendered his free will. And he says, I go bound in the Spirit. He has walked from level 1 to level 2, where it's no more him choosing much. It is Holy Spirit choose for him. Right? Holy Spirit choose for him. Level 2. So, level 2 is very powerful in predestination, because at level 2, it flows down to your children, and your children are carried along by the waves of God's energy, or you yourself could be carried away. Now, don't tell me when a person spends 60 years of their life in prayer, that they don't create certain things. They do. They create such energy that they move into level 2 of God's predestination work, and it looks like free will has very little part in it, because the energy of God carrying it through was so powerful. Right. Now, they still have free choice. It's still there, but it's like surrounded. It's just like, isn't it easy to be a Christian? Let's say, you know, some of you may be struggling in your life in certain habits or whatever, but think about it. Let's say if 10 of us follow you for one whole year, and you want to do something wrong, all of us will go, it's very hard for you to do the wrong thing, right? Right? If 10 of us follow you all the time, right? Except when you go to bath or toilet, we won't follow you, but we stay all around the toilet, hold our hands around and pray for you. You got no chance of falling. Think about it, you got no chance of falling. If 10 of us were spirit-filled, follow you all the days of your life for one year, whole year, can you fall? No, because every time you're going to fall, one of us are there saying, and then you're about to do the wrong thing, right? Two of us are there, you know, holding your shirt tails, and you're about to go for sin, and we're holding you and say, that says the Lord, he is holy, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Trying to fall, you couldn't fall. Now think about, instead of 10 of us, the Holy Ghost. So fill your life. It looks so impossible to fall. It is at level 2. At level 2. So there's foreknowledge, there's predestination. Predestination has these two types of predestination. The first is events, unconditional. Persons, conditional. Condition upon obedience or disobedience. Then God will work. And based on obedience or disobedience, they will move into level 2. Then God starts working even more powerfully. Because when you say, Lord, my will is your will, and you keep saying that all the time, one day He accepts you. And your will disappears. You've gone into level 2. You're just carried by that. And it is a wonderful experience. It's a wonderful experience when you surrender your free choice back to God. John the Baptist, in spite of all those things happening, sometimes he had moments of weakness too. In prison, he had a moment of weakness. And he sent his disciples to Jesus and say, ask him, are you the one who is coming? Now remember, he's the one who said he is the one. So I just share the incident to show that he is still human. And way in prison, you know, when he was not deep in the ministry flowing, you know, he got his doubt sometimes. And Jesus sent his disciples back and said, tell him, you know, show him all his signs and wonders and tell him, you know, and more or less assure him that he is. So there's predestination. And then you come to free will. What actually is free will, and how much of free will is involved in all our choices? Now, let's look here at the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And this is the conclusion of it all, where it's going to help us how to operate in God's foreknowledge and predestination in such a way that we can get into the flow. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says in verse 4, that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So that tells us that God plans for everyone to be saved. God has good plans for everyone. Yes, even Judas Iscariot. But it's their free choice what they're going to do about it. Do you notice that God did not predict the name of the person who was going to betray him? But God just predict that a person who knows and walks closely with Jesus will betray him. Because there is the free choice. But when he comes to predicting good things, he could even predict a name. And he gives a name. Because God plans good things. So you and I ask a question. If Judas didn't betray him, would the cross still have happened? As long as evil is present in the world, it will happen. Except it may not be him, it may be somebody else who rise up his heel against Jesus. And it's just a reality. God knows it's a reality and that will happen. It's just as real as, for example, if there's a whole group of sinners and blasphemers against God, right? And they are gathering together in a certain place, and we send one of you there, right? Would it be predictable to say that you're going to be persecuted? Of course, right? And so, in the same way, Jesus is coming to the fallen earth. He's coming to, and God knew that those things are going to happen, so He planned it through. He planned the whole thing. If the whole thing takes place, He will still include it. It's almost like when something is there, you know, this is the best way to do it, to redeem mankind. And He puts a plan into place. And there's a strange verse in the book of Philippians 2 that we need to consider when we talk about free will. Philippians chapter 2. It says here, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Now look at the way free will works. Behind free will is God energizing. God is energizing your free will to choose. Now if that is so, then you and I can ask the question, if God is behind the energies of our free will, then how does free will operate? Because we know that we are still accountable for our own actions. Right. So if God is helping us will, think about the choices you make in your life. If you have a lot of godly energy in you, you'll be motivated to choose the right thing. If the presence of God is so strong on your life, your love is so much alive to God, you will be choosing the right things easily. So is it really your choice or the energy behind your choice? And that's why sometimes people make resolutions. But your resolution is only as good as the energy to carry them out. Because sometimes you can make resolution in 2 weeks, you got no more energy to keep to the resolution. So the problem is not just the choice, because sometimes people are trying to choose and they are in Romans 7. What I will not, I do. What I will, I do not do. Right? They will, but they couldn't do. And it says, my flesh is weak. I will to do, but I still don't do. I know what is right, but I don't do what is right. I do what is wrong. What's happening here? The problem is not just the free will. It is indeed there. The problem is not just in a choice, because a person can choose to do right, but can be overcome by evil. So what's